Hi, and welcome to Thesis Talk by OIE at Copenhagen Business School. Today we're here with Melle, who is still in the process of finishing her thesis. Welcome.
Thank you. So I'm writing about a concept which is called patient centricity. So I'm writing together with Novo Nordisk, which is a pharmaceutical company here in Denmark. Patient centricity is basically what we have also learned in OIE about a human centeredness, about like getting insights from customers into your company in order to develop processes and services and products. But with a pharmaceutical company, you just call it patient centricity.
Patient centricity.
So patient centeredness. Yeah.
They're in the center.
Yeah. Okay. They're in the center of everything. So that you take them and their insights and their experiences of what it's like to live with a chronic disease, which is in the case of Novo Nordisk diabetes, and you take those experiences and insights at the core of your business approach and try to develop everything around it. Before that, it was more they were talking to the doctors, trying to convince the doctors of how they should talk to the patients in order to better comply to the medicine. So now they can kind of like bridge this doctor relationship and can go directly to the patient. The way Novo Nordisk is doing it is they have a panel of patients and they work with these patients in co-creation processes, so that they invite them for workshops. They ask them about their opinions, they do product testings with them, service testings with them, and so that's one part of it. And my thesis is going to be about, or is about, all these different roles that patient can take within the pharmaceutical company, within the processes of developing services and products. So it's a very practical thesis, and just like kind of elaborating on how Novo Nordisk is actually using this patient-centered approach and what their challenges are and how it is changing with now more emerging technologies in the future.
Mm-hmm. What was Novo Nordisk's main motivation for studying this and your motivation for writing about it?
The Novo Nordisk itself, they can't really go around it. So the problem is that there are so many challenges with pharmaceutical or within the pharmaceutical industry that they have to integrate patients. So for example, so if you look at the healthcare industry, you as a patient, you don't really, so you just get the medicine like from your doctor, but someone has to pay for the medicine before that. So those, so it's governments and insurers who pay for the medicine, and they want pharmaceutical companies to actually provide evidence on the efficacy of those medicines. So what pharmaceutical companies need to do is they need to integrate the patient inside in order to provide this evidence, right? What has been actually found out is that there is a huge gap between how medicine is efficient in the real world, like when you go out of the doctor's office and you take the medicine, and within clinical trials. So the efficacy rate of medicine is a lot higher in clinical trials than in the real world. So now they have to bridge this gap because like payers are saying like, well, what's wrong here? Like, you tell me your medicine works fine, and then I look at the patients and their treatment outcomes and their health outcomes, and I can see that your medicine is actually not doing what you told me that's going to do. So they have to actually involve patients better in order to better provide real world evidence on their medicine. So, and for me, why I started to write about it, because I worked with Novo Nordisk for 1.5 years, and I worked in a department which basically started to integrate the patient-centric approach within Novo Nordisk. So like 2 years ago, Novo Nordisk started to realize that they have to do more to integrate patient insights, and then they created this department, which is called Global Patient Relations. And this department basically works with this panel that I talked about earlier. It's about 120 patients from all around the world. I think it's like 22 nationalities. And I worked with them for 1.5 years, which is why I was very interested in the topic. And I also thought it was super easy to get like all the interviews, because what I'm doing in my thesis is I'm comparing the patient perspective with the pharmaceutical company perspective on the patient-centric concept.
So now you're still in the process of writing, as we understood?
Yeah, so I'm right now writing my discussion, so I'm almost done.
Okay.
Yay!
As soon as you finish the analysis, you're done.
Yeah, the rest is just fluffy.
I also don't have that many pages left, so let's see.
Okay.
So what the pharmaceutical has done always is that what I said, the clinical trials. So it's not like that they put medicine on the market that hasn't been tested on people, or I mean, you start with animals and then at some point you go to people.
So, yeah. That's how it is.
Yeah,
that's the rough
The rough life, yeah. And before, so they had these clinical trials always. But the problem was with those clinical trials, they were created and organized and developed by pharmaceutical companies. And they never asked patients on how they actually feel doing it, how they adhere to their medication in real life. Because you have to like imagine a clinical trial, is a very artificial situation. You get a schedule and the schedule tells you every day how you have to take your medicine, what you have to eat, and it basically tells you how you have to organize your life during this clinical trial period.
Yeah.
So in real life, I mean, real life comes in between. For example, what I heard from a patient was, well, she has diabetes and when she's on oral treatment, every time she gets diarrhea problems. So if she knows that she's going on travel for like 10 hours being on the train, on the plane, she's not taking her medicine because she doesn't want to go on the toilet in the plane, which is completely understandable. Like, who wants to have diarrhea on a plane?
Yeah.
Of course, that's not good for her health because if you don't treat your diabetes, you get major problems with other organs and so on. You can see in real life, people change their behavior around how they take their medicine. So integrating these insights, knowing that people don't take their medicine on the plane because they get diarrhea,
yeah,
is super important.
For me, it's super interesting. I think you also said that in the beginning that technology is more and more integrated into this new approach. But and if you at the same time talk about, okay, we look more on the human side now with this patient-centeredness, how can this be combined with technology? Because for me, technology is very unhuman in a way, right?
Okay.
If we bring more AI or robotics or whatever into the game, are we now moving away from humans? Well, how do you see that?
So the way it is, or the way pharma approaches it, is that devices, for example, so going back to diabetes, when you have diabetes, or if you have diabetes, you have to measure your blood glucose thingies.
Level? Is it a level?
No. Level, yeah. It was like, what's the word? Yeah, your level, like several times a day, in order to inject the right amount of insulin or take the right amount of pills. Before we had all these digital advancements, it was the way you took your blood glucose and you would write it down in a diary. You would go to your doctor, and your doctor would tell you how you have to take your medicine. Coming back to the fact that you have a real life, you're not gonna like write it down every time when you when you inject your insulin. You're not gonna write it down every time when you measure your blood. So it was all like most patients would just do it like the day before they go to the doctor, and all numbers would be completely messed up and not real data, right? So now with the digital technology, you have devices that can help you to record the data. So you would measure your blood glucose level and the device, so it's a blood glucose monitor, would directly record the data and you wouldn't have to write it down anymore. So in the end, you would go to your doctor can download the entire data and would see the exact measurements that you have, which is extremely important for you because it's your life that's on the risk here if you don't really take the right medicine or amount of insulin.
Mm.
So it actually helps you to have a better life because the medicine will be better organized for you. So and it gets even better the better all these devices are connected. For example, you would have, if you are on an insulin treatment, you have those pens, you have to inject the insulin, and the pen would record how much insulin you injected. So and then the data gets together, you have your blood glucose, you have your insulin, and the doctor can exactly tell you how you have to take your medicine. The main findings, I would say, in my thesis is that you have like two major directions. One is you have personalized care, and with all these digital measurements and with all these digital tools, you are better able to develop medicine that's like 100% suited to you as an individual. Because before that, you had like mass market products. And you have to imagine, it's not, if you look at, I don't know, you and your friend, you're completely different people. You have a completely different body, which is why it's so important to, in the future, be better able to provide personalized medicine. So that's the one development, and the other development is more holistic care, because when I talk to patients, I found out that they need more support on how to actually how to actually take medicine, and they also need support. They want to hear that they're not alone with their disease. So they want to have peer-to-peer support. They want to hear from others how they like deal with their daily challenges and all these kind of things. So it's like this holistic approach that pharma has to look at, and it's the personalized approach that pharma has to look at.
And the holistic one sounds more emotional.
Yeah, it's completely on the emotional basis. So, and for example, in awareness, what they're doing right now is they have something called deep talks. So deep because the patient that they work with, this patient panel is called disease experience expert panels, because they say we're not talking about patients, we're talking about disease experience experts. So they're experts of their own disease and their own lives. So they have these deep talks, which are kind of like TED talks. They invite patients and they would talk about like 10 to 15 minutes about a certain topic related to their disease. And for example, there was one patient and she actually talked about diabetes and having sex. And I thought that was so courageous from her, like really brave to talk about it, because it's such a personal topic and like nobody really talks about it. And it's really the fact that like some people experience hypos, which is a very low level of blood glucose level. Oh God, I'm so bad with all these terms. But you can actually like faint if you have a very low blood glucose level, and you could end up in the hospital. So you have to take medicine, or you have to like get some sugar, drink something, and it's super scary if you faint after having sex, I guess. So it's so important that people talk about it, are not ashamed of having this disease and experiencing those kind of challenges.
Do you think for the pharmacist or the chemist to develop the medication, that it kind of challenged their work, because now they have to work more inductively than just working on clinical, and then they actually have to learn to listen and talk to the patients?
Exactly. So that's a huge point. Like that is so difficult for especially like in pharma, you have this entire R&D part with people who have been doctors before their industry careers, or have this entire science background. So for them, thinking out of a patient perspective, which is completely fluffy and it's nothing that is, it's not really like data that they can like
measure
and grab, and it's more like, oh, it's my emotions, and they're like, how can I measure your emotions, like what can I do with it? So for them, taking these insights and making them to something that's tangible for them that they can work with is so difficult. And what's even more difficult for the entire company is not just listening to it and trying to understand what the patient needs, it's also about integrating it. Because like one of my interviews said, well, right now everybody's so like caught up by creating blue oceans. Like everybody wants to think big and new, but do something. It's not just about thinking big, it's about like doing something big. So now they have to go the step forward and actually produce something, do something.
So besides the challenge of integrating the qualitative collected data, what are the challenges you think there is going forward?
So integrating the data, there were a lot more challenges. I'm like trying to think about what it was. I wrote about it like 2 weeks ago. What was it again? The problem is always like if you have patients there and they tell you how terrible their life is, so it puts them in the weird position, right? It makes them kind of like a victim. And that's not what you want. You want to empower them, right? In the future, it's more about improving their lives, empower them to actually take ownership of their health, of their disease management. So, and that's actually also kind of like a weird question about, is pharma giving up some responsibility, or pushing over some responsibility of like saying, oh, we give you all the tools now, we give you all these connected devices, and now you're completely perfectly able to manage it on your own, like
do it yourself
because you're too expensive for us, for you're too expensive for the doctors to actually spend time in the doctor's office, like do it yourself. So, and some patients are very good on all these digital things, but some are not, right? So you have this probably very much, or like in the future, more emerging gap between people that are able to use these digital things and people that are not.
Do you see in the future that big pharma companies will only become like big data
are driven by big data? Is they collect more and more data from patients?
So pharma, or like at least Novo Nordisk, I can just talk about them. They're not aiming to become a tech data company, right?
Okay.
So what they're aiming to is that they go into more partnerships with tech companies and companies who actually know how to handle data, because you have to see, like, Novo Nordisk is a science company. Like, they know everything about medicine, about science, medical developments, but they have no idea how to mine data. So right now, it's like, if you look at Google or Apple or all these Amazon, all these huge tech companies, they're entering the pharma market or the healthcare market more and more, but not with developing the medicine, but with like developing services around it. They have crazy prices on drugs in the US,
yes.
Like, for example, diabetes prices or insulin prices, not diabetes, insulin prices went up in the past 10 years 400%.
Yeah.
Oh my god!
Yeah, 400%. So, and I heard from one interviewee that the price of insulin is almost much as rent.
And the invention for insulin was sold for $1 to the University of Toronto.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
And then, yeah, yeah. So it was a Canadian invention,
yeah.
And then... yeah, because they said, like, well, it's a life-saving drug and everybody should be able to get it. And then they sold it for $1 or something, right?
Which
and,
is...
Yeah, and...
how it should be.
Yeah. It's
equality.
Not like that it's so difficult to produce insulin. Like, they are... And that's also very scary.
Yeah.
And because there are YouTube videos on how to make your own insulin. So, and, like, what pharmaceutical companies actually do is they produce very... there's kind of, like... a challenge around producing the very clearest, no, that's the wrong word, but like a very pure insulin. That's what makes it so difficult, that you get almost as close to what your body would produce itself. And that's where pharmaceutical had patents. And now they're running out of these patents. Which is why they have to develop more services and so on. So, because otherwise they don't have anything to make profit anymore.
Yeah. So there will be a big change in the future.
Yeah.
Probably. A shift.
Yeah.
Something. But you may be gonna change them from within.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Maybe from outside as
or
a consultant.
Maybe from outside. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think like working as a consultant in the healthcare industry could be super interesting.
We have to end.
Okay.
Thank you very much for
a long talk.
Yes.
And good luck with finishing up your thesis.
Thank you so much. Yeah.